Okay, so as we've gone through this series in Jonah, we're now in Jonah chapter 4, I have to be honest with you. I can relate to Jonah. I'm sad to say that Jonah and I have so much in common. I wish, for example, that I could say I've never been angry with God. I've never been disappointed. I've never been frustrated with Him. I wish I could say that I've never doubted His plan or His goodness for me. But the reality is I have. So being a Christian, well, it's not easy. Especially when life doesn't feel fair to us, does it? I mean, I'm sure there's moments in your life when you feel like you've experienced some level of injustice, no matter how big or how small. Think back to your workplace, for example. Maybe somebody's taking credit for something that you did. Or maybe somebody in your family has hurt you and has never tried to make things right again. And if you're honest with yourself, deep inside you actually don't want anything good for them. But maybe your pain is a lot deeper than that. Maybe somebody's choices have scarred you. And while you try to put your life back together, they're carrying on like nothing happened. No justice, no apology. I mean, you just got to look at our news for all of 2 minutes and you'll see evil, corrupt people thriving, doing well, living large, but nothing seems to happen to them. No accountability, no justice. So then there's that question that stirs from deep within us. Where is God in all of this? How can He let this go on? Surely God can't show them any mercy. Have you ever been there? Felt like that? Angry with God? Angry that He did something that you thought He shouldn't? Or perhaps He didn't do something that you hoped He would? Well, that's what Jonah experiences in chapter 4. You see, he loves God's goodness and God's grace when it's for him and for his people. But as soon as God's kind towards somebody that he hates, then to Jonah it feels like injustice. And that's where Jonah chapter 4 challenges us today. Because God's grace doesn't just comfort us, it confronts us. And these are the three things that I want us to see this evening. The first one is that grace reveals what's really in our hearts. Secondly, grace challenges what we value most. It challenges the treasure of our hearts. And number three, grace shows us God's heart for all people. But before we get into it, let me just pray for us and we'll tackle it. Father God, we do pray that tonight you can expose our selfish, self-seeking, sinful hearts, Lord. Lord, that we can have hearts that are for you, Lord. So we do pray, Lord, that we can understand your grace that we don't deserve, that you give to us, Lord. May we be a people, a church, Lord, that reflects your heart to everyone. Help us with this tonight, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So about a week ago, I was on holiday with the family, and I was standing there before the ocean, looking at this massive body of water. And as I stood on the beach there, you could see the waves rolling in, crashing on the shore. And I was thinking back to Jonah. And I'm not lying to you when I say in the distance we saw a whale. And we called the kids and we watched this whale breach the surface and crash back into the depths. And as I was preparing for this series, which we're ending tonight, I'm thinking back on Jonah. I think by way of remembering, these are some of the thoughts that came to my mind. So if you can think back to Jonah chapter 1, we had Jonah who disobeyed God and he jumped on a ship to flee away from God. But God, in his goodness, in his grace, pursues Jonah. He conjures up the storm and the waves, not to punish him, but to bring him back. And as I stood at the beach, I was thinking, this massive ocean, all of that for one man. And you think back to chapter 2, where God's grace rescues Jonah. He rescues him from the belly of the fish, where he hears Jonah's cries. Then we go to chapter 3. In chapter 3, we saw how God's grace transforms Jonah and the Ninevites. So now Jonah, through his obedience, goes to the Ninevites and he gives them God's message. And the whole city is transformed. They all turn to God. But now, in Jonah chapter 4, he faces the toughest part of grace, and that's extending it. So we're going to see in chapter 4 that God has a heart for all people. And he challenges Jonah, and he's challenging us tonight. We need to show that same relentless grace to other people. So to my first point, grace reveals what's really in our hearts. Then verse 1 we can read, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry." So we can see from the very first verse here that Jonah is not happy with what God has done. So in chapter 3, we're told that these people hear God's message and they respond. And God acknowledges their response. They stop their evil ways and they turn to God. And then God, in response to that, well, he opts not to destroy them. So here we have this good thing, this amazing thing. It's a miracle of a nation that repents and turns to God. But in the eyes of Jonah, this is not a good thing. There's a little note in your ESV translations, and it says that this wonderful thing of a nation, or a city at least, turning back to God, in the eyes of Jonah, is exceedingly evil to Jonah. This thing, in Jonah's eyes, is an evil thing. So now Jonah's trying to understand. He wants to get his head around, how could God forgive people like this? How could God show mercy to an enemy of Israel? These evil Assyrians, they're deserving of judgment and not forgiveness. I know a story of a man, and it's a personal story, who possibly through some form of addiction made some life decisions that hurt his family, that hurt his kids, that hurt his wife. And this went on for a number of years. And the family was broken. And after some time, this husband, this father, decided that he wanted to try to put his life back together. And he started to try to reconcile with his kids, mend these broken relationships. And there was great reason to celebrate for the work that God was doing in his life. But I won't forget, his wife was angry. She asked the question, is that it? Is it that easy? After everything he's done, the heartache, the heartbreak, he's just going to get off like that? No judgment, no punishment. I want to ask you, who in your life, thinking across your family, maybe your workspace, maybe even on social media, who do you think is deserving of judgment and not grace? Come on, we all know someone, don't we? Who in your life do you think is deserving of punishment and undeserving of God's grace? Where in your life would you rather see God's judgment acted out than God's grace freely given? Think about it. So as Jonah is making this complaint to God, he does something that's quite surprising. He starts to almost argue for, or rather justify, his rebellion, his disobedience that we saw in chapter 1 when he jumps on the ship and he flees. And we see in verse 2 that he gives us the reason why he ran. This is the very first time in the whole book of Jonah that he tells us why he was disobedient. And in verse 2 it says, "And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? This is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew you are a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. So he knew that if he preached to the Ninevites, they might repent. But he knew, and he knows the character of God, steadfast, gracious, loving. He knew that God would forgive them. So he runs, not because he's afraid to fail. He runs because he doesn't want to succeed. There's a big irony for us here to see. Because as he's justifying his rebellion, the reason for him running, he actually quotes a verse that's from Exodus 34, verse 6. And it's a verse that God actually tells to Moses to describe himself when Israel has sinned against God. It's when they worship the golden calf that we all know about. And God described himself as merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Sound familiar? So Jonah loves God's character, God's goodness, God's grace. When it's for him, he just can't accept it when it's for somebody else. So Jonah, in my mind, had good theology, but he was disobedient. So our theology, our knowledge of God, who he is, what he's done, doesn't automatically make us good Christians or obedient. Because it's a head versus heart thing, isn't it? So our theology, how we live it out, how we act as Christians, how we obey God, is determined about the condition of our heart. So if our hearts don't submit to God's plan, if our hearts don't declare that God is good, that God is all-knowing, righteous, just, fair, well, then we're in danger. If our hearts move away from God's plan to our own plan, then we start to justify things that we shouldn't be justifying. And this serves as a warning to us. A warning that if we move away from God and we make ourselves king, we become the lawmakers. And here's a scary thought. We get to decide who's right and who's wrong, who's forgiven and who's forsaken. How easy is it then for us to want mercy for ourselves, but then revenge for somebody else? Or how easy is it for us to want to be covered by God's grace, but then want revenge for somebody else? I mentioned earlier that I can relate to Jonah. I genuinely wish that I couldn't. But there's been times in my life, just over this weekend, in fact, as a father, when I've celebrated God's grace in my life, but then towards my kids, I've been harsh and ungracious. As a husband, I've rejoiced in God's forgiveness for me, but then towards my wife, I've been unforgiving and held on to bitterness. And even as a follower of Jesus, I've enjoyed his friendship, but then towards others, I've been unkind. Sometimes, even keeping score of when they did me wrong. So what's so amazing about this point of this story, and what we mustn't miss, is that Jonah is complaining about the very grace that is the reason why he is alive. If it wasn't for the character of God that he describes in verse 2, he would be dead. So we read that Jonah is not happy. He's looking at something that is so good, a city turning to God, and he calls it evil. So how often do we expect God to forgive us, but we hesitate to forgive others? How often do we look at people as problems to avoid, and not people made in God's image? How often do we want to see people feel the weight of their wrong and not the freedom of grace? So God's grace doesn't just comfort us. It exposes the condition of our heart. It shows how easily we may want God's mercy for us, but how we struggle to want that same mercy for someone else. It actually exposes something bigger than that. It exposes whether we love God for who He is, or maybe just for the things He's done for us. To the second point. Grace challenges what we value most. So in verse 3 there, Jonah ends his prayer dramatically. He says there, "Oh Lord, please take my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live." In other words, Jonah's saying, over my dead body will these people be forgiven. Now tell me, how does a child of God, a prophet, get to this point? He sees something that is so good. He doesn't rejoice. He calls it evil. In fact, he says, if you really love me, you will take my life. It's shocking. Think about it. How can he rejoice in the grace that saves him, but then despise the very grace that saves a city? You see, Jonah just couldn't accept the fact that God could extend the same favor that had shown Israel to somebody like the Ninevites, who were brutal, who were evil. To him, the math was simple. Evil deserves judgment. Nineveh deserves destruction. A word that Colin used was annihilation. That's how he saw it. You see, but Jonah had forgotten who he was, where he came from. He forgot that he was a sinner, a rebel once on the run. So he's complaining about the same grace that actually had saved him. A prophet who once praised God from rescuing him from the belly of the fish is now demanding judgment instead of grace. So somewhere along the line, he started to think that he knows better than God. But we've all been there, haven't we? I know for me, sometimes when I've seen God's wisdom, I thought to myself, doesn't seem so wise. Or when I've seen His grace, I thought, doesn't seem so right to me. Or even when I've seen His love, I thought, we've all been there, haven't we? You see, God doesn't want Jonah's death. He wants his heart to be transformed. God wants Jonah to see people the way he sees them, as valuable, made in his image, deeply loved, never, never, never beyond redemption. I've had my own Jonah moment, and this is quite deeply personal, something I'm not proud of. But some time ago, I struggled with my sister-in-law, who is also a Christian, thankfully. And no matter what she did, it frustrated me and it irritated me. And it got so petty that it got to the point, no matter what she didn't do, it frustrated me and it irritated me. And I found myself justifying my feelings towards her. It's okay because she annoys me. She speaks over me. She interrupts me. She's lazy. All these things. Realizing that this couldn't carry on, I went and met with her and her husband. And I'll never forget it. We sat opposite each other like this. And she looked me in the eyes and she said, "What must I do to make things better between us?" And I said to her, "Nothing. The problem's not you. It's me. It's my heart." You see, it's not about her being perfect or nicer. I needed to see her as someone worth showing grace to, somebody that Jesus died for. I needed to see her the way God sees her. And that's his child. And that's exactly what God wants Jonah to understand here. And that's why he asks the question in verse 4. Do you do well to be angry? It's a simple, piercing, even provocative question. He's saying, Jonah, is your anger really justified? You've received God's grace. You've received His mercy, His goodness. But yet you cannot accept it when it's shown to somebody else. You see, when God's grace exposes the condition of our hearts, God's not doing that to shame us. He's doing it because He wants to free us. And this is the experience with me and my sister-in-law. He wants to free us from these small, self-centered, self-focused hearts so that we can reflect His heart for others. He wants us to see people the way He sees them. Who is your Nineveh? Who do you struggle to show grace to? Who do you think is undeserving of grace? Do you love people the way God does, unconditionally? Or do you only love people that look like you, sound like you, think like you, people that you think deserve it? See, grace reveals what we treasure. In this passage here, Jonah treasures fairness over compassion. He wants justice over mercy. But God's grace towards Nineveh shows us what He treasures most. And that's people. Broken, lost, undeserving people. Like you and like me. To our third point. Grace shows us God's heart for people. So read with me there in verse 5. Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. So we see here that Jonah actually doesn't answer the question in verse 4. Instead, he packs these things up. He goes outside the city and he makes for himself a little shelter. And he sits there waiting to see what's going to happen. So despite God forgiving the Ninevites, Jonah secretly wants to see that there's going to be destruction. It's quite a sad picture if you think about it. Here we have a prophet, a man of God, sitting, sulking on a hill, hoping that grace will fail. But it makes me think that we often do something so similar. Sometimes we can think that I've forgiven somebody. Sometimes we might even say the actual words, I forgive you. But in our hearts, we want justice. We want them to feel what we felt. We love the theory of forgiveness, just as long as it doesn't cost us too much. So God gives Jonah a lesson here, and He uses something as ordinary as a plant to illustrate His point. So in verses 6 to 8, God provides His plant. It provides shade and some relief to Jonah. And then almost just as quickly, along comes a worm, destroys the plant, and there's a scorching wind that exposes Jonah to the heat. So here we have something so small, but yet God is trying to teach a big lesson to Jonah. And there's some things for us to notice here in these verses. By way of comparison, God rescues the Ninevites from destruction. But in the same way, God rescues Jonah from his discomfort. Now think about it. On the one hand, you have an entire city that's being rescued from annihilation. And on the other hand, you have one man that's being rescued from the sun. We saw there in verse 1 that Jonah is exceedingly angry when God rescues these Ninevites. But here in verse 6, he's exceedingly glad when he gets rescued from the sun. Two rescues, two very different responses. So Jonah loves God's goodness and His rescue when it's for him. He just can't accept it when it's for somebody else. So when the plant dies, Jonah absolutely loses it. And we're almost back to the start now where he's asking God to take his life again. And God responds with his question, do you do well to be angry for the plant? But I was just thinking here, Jonah's response is so typical of all of us. It's a human response, isn't it? He almost says, yes, I do well to be angry. Angry enough to die. It made me think of some of the encounters with the children this weekend where they're all angry, cross their arms, stomping their feet, as if the world is against them. That's the picture of Jonah in my mind. But God's not trying to be cruel here. He's actually being patient. He wants Jonah to understand. He wants him to see. So he provides this comparison, this contrast at the end of this conversation, which puts everything into perspective. So let's read verses 10 to 11. And the Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? So God's point is quite clear. He's saying to Jonah, how can you have compassion for a plant that you did nothing for? It grew quickly. It was there for one day. Now put that on one side of the scale. What is weightier? This tiny little plant, or on this side, a city, 120,000 people that are lost, that don't know their right for their wrong. Add to that even the cattle. It's as if God is asking and saying to Jonah, if you can have compassion for a small little plant over here that you had nothing to do with, how could I not have compassion for a city that is lost? The question in verse 11 is unanswered. I think it's there for us to answer. Whilst answering it, maybe ask yourself this question. Are there any Ninevites in your life? Do you happily receive God's grace, His mercy, His goodness, but then you don't like to see it to other people? So you like it for yourself, but you don't like it for others. And maybe, just like Jonah, you don't fail in that, but you still justify why you don't do that. See, Jonah 4 isn't about a plant. It's not about a prophet. It's about the heart of God. A God who cries for the lost, who loves his enemy, who shows mercy when we demand justice. Grace shows us God's heart for all people. A heart that refuses to give up on anyone. Not Jonah, not Nineveh, not you, and not me. And just in closing, let me say this. The book of Jonah ends with a question. Should I not pity that great city? It's a question that's meant for Jonah, but it's a question for us too. If God shows compassion to an evil, lost city, shouldn't we do the same? So Jonah's story reminds us that God's grace isn't just for the good and for the deserving. His grace goes out beyond a stubborn prophet. It goes beyond an evil, rebellious city. It shows us that God's heart is for the whole world, for all people. But here's the truth. We are Nineveh. We are the ones that have rebelled, that have rejected God, that deserve judgment. But just like God sent Jonah into an evil city with lost people to call them back to him, thankfully, God sent his son Jesus into the world that are lost to bring them back to Him. And here's the greatest contrast for me. Jesus took our sin, our guilt, our rebellion, and He takes it with Him to the cross. And He stood there in our place, taking on the full weight of God's judgment so that we could receive God's mercy. You see, at the cross, every drop of God's wrath that we deserve fell on Jesus. And every ounce of God's grace that we don't deserve fell on us. See, the cross is where justice was satisfied and grace triumphs for all. But now, that same grace calls us to not be like Jonah, to not go sit on the outside of the city looking in, calling for judgment, but to rather go into the city with compassion, reflecting God's heart, showing grace that we've received. So as we end this series, let me ask you, who is your Nineveh? Who do you need to forgive? Who have you written off as too far gone? Because reflecting God's heart isn't something we just talk about on a Sunday. It's something that we do every day, in every situation. I was just thinking, it's when you, whether you're unwelcoming and you receive people with warmth, whether they're rude or obnoxious. Maybe you're in the worship band and you're singing to 5 people or 5,000 people. You do it with humility because it's not about you. It's because you want to point people to Jesus. Maybe it's at work where you choose patience over snapping back at a difficult client. Maybe it's in traffic. You choose grace over honking your horn. Maybe it's at home. You choose forgiveness, love, patience, all the good stuff we know about, even when it's not easy. See, we need to be people that don't just receive God's grace, but we reflect it. Because grace, real grace, doesn't stop with us. It flows through us. God's grace doesn't just save us. It sends us to love the unlovable, to forgive the unforgivable, to reflect the heart of God who never gives up, not on Jonah, not on Nineveh, not on you. And maybe you're someone who feels far from God. Know this, God loves you and His grace is there for you. So no one is too far gone. No heart is too hard. No past is too dark. And if you've never trusted in Jesus, well, that's where grace begins. You turn to Him. You acknowledge your need for it. And you receive the mercy that He's offering to you. Let us pray. Father God, we do thank You for stories like this, Lord, that do confront us, Lord. My prayer, Lord, is that we have a heart that reflects Your goodness, Your grace. Lord, help us to see people in our lives, situations where we need to be better, Lord. Better at reflecting Your heart for them, Lord. It's tough. We can't always do it on our own, Lord. So we do pray for Your Holy Spirit to help us. So Lord, may we take what we've learned throughout the series in Jonah about Your grace, how it pursued us, how it rescued us, now it transforms us, and now challenges us, Lord, to extend that grace to others. But we need Your help in doing this. We pray this in the name of Your awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.